I really want to touch this matter of baptism so that all of you brothers and sisters can know the fullness of baptism. And, like Jose mentioned, the practicality of what it really does. And it was so good that in Paul's testimony tonight that baptism played such an important role. I didn't know that, but that's great. I wish, kind of envious that I didn't get baptized in the Gulf of Mexico. But anyway, baptism is good as long as it's done in a way so that you have the right experience of Christ. You go under the water. Many things happen, which is what we want to get into. Now, what I want to say is baptism is not the point at which Christ comes into you. If that happens, that's unusual. If you pray and get saved while at the same time you're getting baptized, that's kind of like an accident, and that's fine, but that's not exactly the norm, okay? It's not the norm. The normal thing is that we would hear the word of the gospel, we would be touched, just like Lydia gave heed to the things spoken by Paul. What was he speaking? The same thing Philip was speaking to the eunuch. He preached Christ to him out of those scriptures, right? He preached Jesus to him. And so when we hear the words of the gospel, and they are so rich, so compelling, so everything, something just starts to light up, you know, in your being. And your heart is touched. And you realize, I have to really give myself to the Lord. And I have to open up my whole being to the Lord. And you have a contact with the Lord. And as was mentioned, no two contacts are exactly alike because no two lives are exactly alike. And the working of the Spirit is just, it's tailored and it's in every way, it's just made to fit into a person's experience so they can receive Christ and have a genuine experience of contacting Him in spirit. That is the essence of regeneration, and is based upon the all-inclusive, wonderful death of Christ that gives us the access to God. Okay, but anyway, we don't know a lot of these things before we get Christ, right? We know we have access, and we sense the call to touch Him. But we don't know many things of truth, right? Now we're finding out what all we have and have inherited and can enjoy for the rest of our life and then some. Okay, if you have Christ within you as the seed of life in your spirit, then you have taken the first step that is really a big step, okay? I'm not going to say the second step equals the gigantic size of the big step, but nevertheless, there are two. This is a kind of a two-step thing, okay? Jose had a two-step thing of repentance and faith for regeneration. This is a two-step thing of regeneration and baptism, so that we can have a full experience of Christ and a practical experience of Christ. And what we touch of Him and know of Him would be enhanced and enriched. Baptism brings us to another level of experience of Christ and of also dealing with our being so that we are more mingled, more constituted with Him. And therefore, after a person receives Christ, they need to clear out their being, and one way to do that is just clear it out in their own heart, and the other part of that is to manifest that and testify that by going into the water and being baptized to bury the old things and rise up with everything that is according to the economy of God. you are now a different person, a different level. You live in a different realm. You are in a different sphere. All the things change. You're no longer in the old creation. Now everything has become new to you, and you have the rest of your life. You have the kingdom age. You have eternity to experience the totality of what that means. Okay? Now, with this, I want to make this practical by going into baptism in these four scriptural mentions. And that is, it's mentioned that we are baptized into the triune God in Matthew. We're baptized into Christ in Romans. It says we're baptized into the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians. And then it says we're baptized into his death also in Romans 6:3. Okay? So, into Christ, into his body, into his death, and then, of course, into the triune God. If we just take some time and take these little special phrases that are linked with baptism, we can see how rich our baptism is. You see, you may not know this all when you go into the water, but now that we've been baptized, we need to know the real total impact that God has for this. You may have felt an impact that was fine, but you have the rest of your life to live out the impact of what baptism means in practical salvation, in terms of practical salvation. Okay? Baptism is a big thing. Okay? The water is a real testimony to the world that you're no longer a pagan, you're no longer a heathen, you're no longer a non-believer, you're no longer a just whatever it is. You're baptized, and now you're identifying with all these other people who say that they know Christ. You see? It's a very big thing. In America, it's really, the impact is been weakened somewhat by the fact of how common it is and how much it's kind of been the truth of it has been kind of lost. In fact, some people actually think you don't really need to have an experience of Christ, you know, in your spirit, but you can go into the water at a certain age of accountability, and that through baptism you'll be saved. And they don't. They just can't see the difference between practical salvation and regeneration. So they go into the water as a dry sinner, and they come out as a wet sinner. Okay, why? They didn't contact Christ. They had no contact before or during or whatever. And so they just had a dry, wet experience. Okay? This is not normal. There is no baptismal regeneration. If that happens, that was just you know, that just was an exceptional thing. Okay, the normal thing is to believe, be regenerated, and desire to be baptized to have the whole thing cleared up and to walk in newness of life. You see, this is what we're talking about. Now, I want to impress you with Matthew 28:19, first of all. We are baptized into the triune God. Here, the Lord commanded, one of his last commands was, go therefore and disciple all the nations. Okay? Baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, there are many things to say about this verse, but I don't want to get distracted. But I want to impress you that when we say that we're baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, this is a real, complete, comprehensive type of baptism. Nothing is left out, because the Lord said, "Baptize you into the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Triune God." You know. We know they're one, but here we get the distinction of the three side. You see? And so we're baptized into the Father. Now, you know, in Christian singing and so forth, we have had forever the fundamental version of the doxology. You know what the doxology is? The doxology, what is it? It says what? Does anybody know? Good.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
It's good. See, I wasn't sure of all the words, although I just sang them, you know, so routinely for years, you know, when growing up. But it does say, praise God the Father, who is the what? Yeah, who is the source. So that is the most outstanding thing about the doxology. They call it the doxology, okay? It's how you begin a worship service with the doxology, okay? Well, we have that in our hymns, and we sing it. Neil, you know where it is, don't you? We sing the doxology. Yeah, somebody have that real quick. It's right at the front of the hymnal. The worship. Okay. Hey, okay. Okay. Okay, you see it says, okay, praise God from whom all blessings flow. They just mentioned that. This is a source from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Suddenly, we're praising Him as His creatures. So, we've gone down a notch. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. So now we have the host praising Him. This is definitely going down a notch. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if they would change the ghost to spirit, it would be an improvement. But anyway, that since that's just praise, that's okay. We put in verse 2, praise God the Father, who's the source. He's the source. Praise God the Son, who is the course. Praise God the Spirit, who's the flow. Praise God, our portion here below. So all of it is just up, 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 you see. There's no... It just doesn't spill out all over the universe. It really brings it into the economy of God. We have the flow, we have the source, the course, and the flow, and then we experience Him as His called people, right? Okay, because He's our portion. He gets into our being. Now, I want to show you kind of this way. If you can have the Father, okay. If you have the Father, and it's like he's a fountain, a flowing fountain, you know, that's just coming up, and water is just coming up. I think some of you have seen just in certain places on the earth, water just comes gushing out of the earth, right? And this is a picture of the fountain. God is the source of all. He is the fountain head. You don't go back further. You don't go anywhere else. He is the beginning. He's the source of all blessings. They flow from Him, and so He is the source, okay? But where does this water go? If it's going to bless you, it has to come to you, you see? So you need a what? You need a course. So now I'm just doing this as a picture, okay? Right now, this is just a simple, kindergarten-style picture, okay? There's a fountain here. Now, we need a course. Okay, let's just say the course goes like this, okay? It's like a riverbed. Forget the fountain, but we have a riverbed, and the course of that riverbed looks like this, okay? The only thing lacking in that river is content. You see? So as the flow, as a source, you see, finds its way into the course. You see, the source has a course. And this course, you know, if it just flies all over the place, then we don't know the direction, and we can't align ourselves to receive this. So this alignment has a lot to do with gospel preaching, you see, to define the course. Well, there's a course here, and this course is channeling all of what the Father has released and so forth, and the Son is this course. He is the way, right? He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. So this is the way right here. It's the course. And then inside this course, you have what? This is the flowing water. That's the Spirit. So we have the Father, then we have the Son as the course, and then we have the Spirit, as the flow, right? You see? This is a kind of a visual. That's all it is. It's just a visual. Okay? Now, what I would like to do is put something over here that would put more teeth into just a simple visual, because that's not good enough. But in a sense, we do have the Father as the source. He is the great source in this universe. He's the fountainhead. He's the beginning. He's the initiation. He's where all things come from. He's the Father. He's the one. Okay. And so we really worship Him as the source. We have to be thankful that our God, as the Father, is the source. You see. Now, for this, we need another thing, which is the course, right? Wrong course. C-O-U. Okay. We need a course. Yes. The Father has to have this course. Okay, and eventually, this has to wind up as a flow. Okay, now, right here, I want to just check with you. If we can say, okay, visually speaking, this is the great fountainhead of all things, all experiences, all blessings, everything is there. Then we have to come to the course. What is the course? The course is this, of course, as a little picture. But in our experience, the course is the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the course. Okay? It's the human living. It's His coming to earth. It's His human living. It's His all-inclusive death. It's His all-inclusive resurrection. And it even includes His ascension. You see, all of that is the work of Christ. And so His person, being God and being a man as well, the one unique God-man, did a perfect work as well. And this work really looks like death and resurrection. The course that we have to have. You see, if we say Christ is a course, what it really looks like is the cross. You see, there's a great thing here called the cross of Christ, and on the backside of the cross, this direction, we have all of His accomplishments to defeat, deal with, and annihilate the negative things, the all-inclusive death of Christ. You see, which we'll get to in a minute. But on the positive side, on this side, he releases the resurrection, you see. The resurrection life has been released by the death of Christ. And now he has made himself so available to man and to the extent that we come down to Christ, you know, I'll just put X for Christ because it's a Greek word, Greek letter. Christ becomes what? The life-giving Spirit, see? And so now the Spirit is the reality of Christ, and the reality of Christ is defined by his death and resurrection. What is the way to experience Christ? By his death and resurrection. You apply his death to get into God, and you apply the resurrection to experience all the riches of what God is. You see? This is the course. This is this little line right over here to define. You see, it has this little way to go, and this is the living, the work, and the person of Christ, which is defined practically by saying the heart of it is his death and resurrection. That's the course. But the course will not reach you if it just stays that way and is remote. So the last Adam, Christ, had to become the life-giving Spirit so that he became so available to you so that you could experience him, you see. And so when we're baptized into the triune God, we're baptized into the fountainhead, the course, and the flow of the triune God. Do you follow me? You see? Now, when we sing these doxology things again, or when we sing God the Father is the source, God the Son is the course, God the Spirit is the flow. Now, be honest with me. I just don't quite know what this is means, right? Am I right or wrong? Right? Yeah. Raise your hand. Okay. See? This... Even you don't raise your hand. I know you. That's the way it was. So, but anyway, thank you for doing that. But now, do you see that when you sing this, when you say God is a source, the Son is a course, and the Spirit is a flow? Now, do you understand what we're talking about? If you understand it, would you raise your hand so I could be comforted? Thank you, thank you so much. Okay, great. Okay, you got it into the triune God. Now, the next one says, into Christ. Actually, let's skip down to into his death first. I think the order would be better. Go down to the fourth dot. Into his death, Romans 6:3. Or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his what?
Death.
His death. You see, you have to know that the baptism water is a tomb, a death. It is a termination. It is going into the grave. You are finished. You are history. You go under and you just bury everything. Okay? You know, the father of a lot of the early things in Texas was a guy named Sam Houston. If you're from Texas, you know that. But anyway, they convinced him to receive Christ and be baptized. Whether that was genuine or not, I don't know. I just don't know. They just wanted him. I think they wanted him to say, "I've been baptized." I'm not sure. Anyway, he went into the water. He went into the water, and as the story goes, I'm not sure if it's a legend or not, but as the story goes, he went into the water, and you know, in some pond somewhere in Texas, I don't know where, and got baptized, came out of the water, and so forth, and whoever baptized him said, I guess some pastor said, "Well, Sam, you're a new man now. How do you feel?" And he said, "You know, you shouldn't be asking him. So you shouldn't be so concerned about how I feel. You need to be concerned with all the fish in that pond, because I left a lot of darkness down there." So whether this was a joke or he was serious, I'm not sure. I never met him. but he was a character. He was a character, and so at least we have that in common. Okay. Anyway, when we're baptized into his death, this means all that Christ accomplished. When he died on the cross, he crucified every negative thing Amen. In the universe, including the devil, including your flesh, including yourself, including your soulish common life, including your sins, your sin nature. All of these things were just killed and crucified by the all-inclusive death of Christ. It's like the song sang, you know, we're dead with him. We're crucified with him. But unless we stay in our spirit, these things haunt us still. These things are very, very, you know, they're just waiting around to give us trouble unless we stay with Christ and apply Christ. And when these things come along, then we apply the cross of Christ to them. It's a very killing cross. The cross is a killing factor, but you need to apply it in a daily way. Death and resurrection, always, these two are always the cornerstone of our experience. Death and resurrection. Resurrection and death. You get a lot of resurrection, you're going to have some death coming up. Resurrection will reveal things that need to die. Words that need to not be spoken. Places that need not to be gone to. Eyes that don't need to look at certain things. Mind that don't need to have certain thoughts. All kind of death. The cross needs to be stamped on thing after thing after thing. How do you do that? You get supplied. You get resurrected. You enjoy the Lord. You don't go witch hunting. Don't do that. You will never have the proper experience of Christ by trying to just seek out and introspect about all these negative things. Just enjoy Christ. I promise you, as you go for Christ, he will just start shining light. And then you can do what Jose did. You can have repentance, more Christ. More Christ, more repentance. More repentance, more Christ. It's just what we do. We repent and have more Christ. It's the same principle as death and resurrection. See? Death and resurrection. So we're baptized into his death. We need to take this seriously. When we go into that water, we go into it to bury the old man. Okay? In that water. Then let me go back up to into Christ, because it's the same verse that contains both of these phrases. Or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? So we're baptized into Christ Jesus and into his death. Here, Christ Jesus is a very significant thing, because, you see, the word Christ is really, in Greek it's Christos. Which means the anointed one. Christ is God's anointed one. You see? And really, it's not what he did here on the backside of the cross, the all-inclusive death, but what he's going to do as the anointed one. And this anointed one has been anointed for a purpose, and that is to fulfill God's purpose with man. And this includes building up the church, which is his body, which is also the one new man. And so, you see, we have the indwelling Christ. When we see the word Christ, we need to think of a God-man who has been resurrected and is now the life-giving spirit. That's really the purest thing we can say about what Christ is. He's the resurrected God-man who is now the life-giving Spirit, and he has been appointed, that is, anointed to do in us all kind of things. And you know the Bible even says we have the anointing within us. That's Christ. That is equivalent absolutely of Christ as the Spirit inside of us, because he will anoint us. This is part of his operation in us, you see, to lead us into all reality. Okay? You get it? So, I hope you have a good experience of Christ. Now, the next point is also quite good and quite practical, and that is we are baptized into the body of Christ, okay? I wouldn't think this kind of phrase would be in the Bible, but 1 Corinthians 12:13. Neil, would you look up 12:12? 12:13 says, "For also in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body." Baptized into one body. You know, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all given to drink one spirit. So we're baptized. This is a kind of an immersion outwardly. Then drinking is something we do inwardly. It's like you just fell into a swimming pool filled with the triune God as the life-giving Spirit. And now he's he's on the outside. You can drink. You can just open up and take that water in, you see. You can drink that water. It's pure, perfect water. And you can just live in this realm of God being within and without. We were put into, the Spirit put us into the body, and of course, all of the triune God, and now we drink him. Now, the body of Christ, you could say, I don't see the spirituality so much, because this means I'm put into Brad, I'm put into Jose, I'm put into what? The members of the body, right? This does not quite come over a little. And so you won't hear too much spoken about this. It's hard to catch it. But it's here. It's here. I'm in you and you are in me. This is part of baptism, believe it or not. You know, you say, "Well, I really don't think I want to be in you." Well, that's a very human response, and I can't blame you for that. But there is a truth that is much deeper than what you think you want to be in. Okay? Now, let's get to this. When we are baptized into the body, we are, in a sense, we are there, placed by God as a member of his body, and we are a part of the whole. Okay? But the body here is a unique thing. It is the body of Christ, but it is not me or you. It is not our old man. It is not our fallen man. This is the resurrected body of Christ, where Christ, according to Colossians, where Christ is all and in all. So the body is just Christ. Now, can you fathom that the body is just Christ? Can you fathom that? From Colossians 3, 10 and 11, you have to fathom that there's no more Jew, no more Greek, no more anything. There's no differences. There's no anything. Everything has been terminated, and now Christ is all. That's wonderful. He's all. He's all what? In the context, he's all the members of the body. That's Christ. See, so it's not Jeff. Jeff, you take this name tag off. It's not you. There's no Jeff anymore. You know, Jeff is under our feet right here. We just walk all over him. You know, he's still under the. He's under the death sentence in the waters. He, you know, once a person is really 6 feet under, I don't think you think they're going to come out before the resurrection from the dead, are they? No, they're going to stay there. Okay, that's what we do. That's what we do. We tell the enemy, that's enemy, Satan, I'm 6 feet under. You know, spiritually speaking, I have been terminated. It's no longer I. No longer I. But Christ. See? So, Jeff, you're not really Jeff. You're Jeff, the resurrected, renewed God-man, living in another realm for the sake of God's purpose on the earth. See? And so we'll just hide this Jeff. See? Hide. You don't like to be hidden? That's where you are. You're hidden with Christ in God. Jeff is just a hidden thing now. See? You got all tangled and mingled up with the triune God. That happened. And now your life is hidden with Christ and in God. Okay? If you can take that up after the meeting, that'd be fine. But take it home and write, Jeff, write on there, Jeff, resurrected God man living for God's eternal purpose. Okay? You got it? Okay. Now, right before this verse is 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says this. Listen.
For even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ.
Jeff, do you understand that? Okay, well, what does it say?
Basically, it's the one with the Lord, that we no longer have an identity as an individual. We're part of the body, this corporate body.
Not bad. That's not bad. It's not bad. Brad, do you understand this verse?
Somewhat.
Yeah? Well, you know, that irritates me a little bit, because when I was your age, those verses really stumped me, and we hadn't gotten to life studies on it, and, you know, blah, 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 and then suddenly this phrase, so also is Christ. You know? And so, it's like, let me just put it very simply, okay? It's all this talk about the body, the members, the individuals, and so forth, and you're really into the body mentality. And so forth. That's really good. Then it says, that's Christ. So also is Christ. In other words, the body is just Christ. That's a broad-based definition. But in Colossians 10 and 11, you get the details. And the reason that the body is Christ is because Christ is all the members, and he's in all the members. So now we are baptized into not only the triune God, not only to the resurrected Christ, not only to his all-inclusive death through his cross to be applied to all negative things, but we are also baptized into the relationship spiritually of being part of one another, where Christ is all and in all. You see that? So now you have Christ in every kind of aspect. You have him for the negative things. You have him for the positive things. You have him in his fullness. And now you have him in the practical way of the body life, where he is just Christ in so many practical ways that we can just touch him in the body. See? So when we get together, we should have time with Christ, with the Lord, with the saints, with the members of the body, how? In the reality of this baptism. Do you follow me? You know, There was some speaking over the weekend about having spiritual companions and some things like this. And this happens and comes up from time to time. And it is really a good thing if you have somebody, some people, 2, 3, 4 maybe, not too many, but you have some that you can really just be together during these early years in college, during your 20s, and you just can really pray together and just, you know, just be a companion, just like Daniel had his companions, you know. It was a real strengthening, okay? This is part of being baptized into the body. I do believe this, okay? But if you're going to be a companion, you have to be a companion that is Christ.
Amen.
You cannot fool around with being a companion. You see, what the world has is, they do label it very well. They have soulmates. They do label it properly. I got a soulmate. This is somebody you can hang out with in the soul, which is so mingled with the flesh that you can't really tell what's soul and what's flesh. I mean, if you stay in the soul, you're guaranteed to be in the flesh. So here you go. You see, I have a spiritual companion. It's good sometimes just to be together, just to be silent, just to say nothing, just to be there for each other. This is good. You see? It's not that easy to make it by yourself. This is a big failure in Christianity. This is why so many people got saved. And right now, they don't even have the assurance of their salvation because they are alone and isolated and have been battered so badly that they just, they're lopsided. If they could just touch the Lord again, the sky would clear, you see? But if they don't have the body, if we don't have each other, if we don't have a way to relate, if we can't be, existing with and on each other and because of each other, then what do we really have? Are we really okay to just charge ahead and go through all the things by ourselves, on our own? No. Don't do this. You see, always stay in the middle of the field.
Amen.
This is the way God desires. The harvest starts from the middle of the field. If you're on the outside, you could get left behind because you might not get caught by the reaper. Stay in the middle where things ripen the fastest. Okay? Then you have a way. Now, what I want to do, by all of this baptism, you now enter into a lifelong experience of having Christ as your person, as the one that you have fellowship with. Okay? Now, obviously, I can't get into all these verses, but I just want to start you into the fact that now, what has really happened through regeneration and baptism is that you are now positioned to have personal, intimate fellowship with the Lord on a daily basis. You can live with Him, in Him. You can know Him personally. You can have His presence. You can have His person. You can just have Him mingled with you and dwelling in you and even living His life through you. You see? And this is a great thing that is sometimes a little hard to comprehend, and even that it's that we should be given such a salvation that we would have the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ living through our being is something. How does he do that? He does it through this beginning phase of regeneration and then baptism. And that positions us so much to have a life of fellowship. Fellowship is so wonderful. I really want to get into this because it has a lot of meaning. But suffice it to say that fellowship really means that for the rest of your life, you don't have to look back at, well, I got saved 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and that's the extent of your real experience of Christ. This is a little bit pathetic, you know. You need to have daily experiences of Christ. Some of them will be kind of just simple, regular, almost routine-like, and some of them will meet some needs that are more definite, and some of them will be higher, and some of them will be lower. But you just stick with the fellowship. You now can open and refer everything to Christ. You can talk to Him, fellowship with Him, open your being to Him, and contact Him in an all-inclusive way. And next week I want to really impress you with this realm that you have entered into. It's simple, really. Before regeneration and also baptism, there was no fellowship. You just lived in the soul as a soulish man. Even a good man, even a high, you could have been Gandhi, or you could have been Confucius, or you could have been Winston Churchill, or so. It doesn't matter who you are, and so forth. It matters whether you've left the realm of just being a soulish man, and now you have entered the realm of being a man of fellowship. That makes you a spiritual man. Okay, if I take any more time, I'll run out of my time. And I I like to be kind of short and give y'all a lot of time to share. Okay, so Jeff, let me give this back to you. Okay. Now you can wear it in with a new feeling of what Jeff is. You're up off the deck and you're in resurrection life. Okay, with just this much, why don't we have some sharing and then say, I want to really get into this fellowship more next week, okay?